Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday evening here in Central Kentucky, ready for episode number 349. As always, thank you to Far Cry, lead guitarist Pete Fry, the great, great band, gave us permission to use that great intro music to our show. And tonight, this is Steven Zimmer, and I will be joined by the lovely, the vivacious, the wondrous and mysterious Holly Phillippe. And I think Holly's even on right now as I speak. We'll find out.
I am. I'm right here.
There she is, like a voice out of the ether, like something coming out from afar. You know, yes, there she is.
That's me.
It's always good to hear from Holly. And tonight you're going to get to hear from her a lot. And we're going to have a great guest. And we've got lots of stuff to talk about. One thing I wanted to share with everyone, starting with last week's episode, a couple days after the show airs live. We keep it on Blog Talk Radio to air live for a little bit. But then we are also now cross-posting. And this turned out to be more popular than I even anticipated. We are cross-posting the show on both YouTube and Rumble, both great video channels. But YouTube and Rumble, go subscribe to the Seventh Star Press channel. But they are being carried there after they air live, a couple days after. So let me put up on the weekends following the live shows. And, Holly, I was surprised at the number of people that messaged me that said, yeah, oh, I saw it in my feed, or I saw this in my algorithm. Or
you know, it even showed up in my feed. I'm like, what, no kidding,
wild.
Really?
Yeah, So yeah, we had a fair number of listens just in posting that first show with Pete Catania, which happened to be a great one. I mean, that was a fantastic conversation.
Yeah.
Pete's such a fun guest and a great YouTuber himself.
We got to get some other ones up there that we did with like Staker Stoker and Jeff Mudgett.
Oh yeah,
we'll get all those up there too.
Yeah, we'll get some of the archive ones from toward the end of last year just to get a few extra ones up there. And all of them, of course, will say the original air dates on them, so you'll get to see when they aired. But you will be able to subscribe to those channels, whether you like Rumble or YouTube, but you'll be able to subscribe to both of those and keep up with us. So if you happen to miss a live show, it's an easy way to listen to it later. And so that's a bit of good news.
Like Blog Talk Radio and all that, it gives you another option. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking into other platforms, such as like Spotify or iTunes and things like that too. We just haven't, got that far yet, but we are going to look into
branching out. Yes, it's time after 349 episodes.
Yeah,
let's get out there. But no, it's great to have the live show, of course, and of course, being a call-in show, you never know what's going to happen, as we've had tornadoes during shows, we've had transformers blow during shows, we've had a lot of excitement, it does get exciting. So yeah, that's something with a live call-in show. So it's always going to be an adventure, and you never know, even what kind of connection you're going to get with a caller. So always exciting. But yeah, we are going to cross-post these shows, and hopefully people will be able to enjoy those extra too. And it's a good way for you all to listen to them again if you do catch the live shows. And we've got the chat room is open, folks. Reload your pages if you have any trouble logging in. A good group is forming already. I see tonight's guest, who I will announce just shortly. Then we looks like Diana Bazorek, Sandy Lender, Middlebeck Harrison. Yeah, Holly's in there. So yeah, if you want a banner, I have not gotten my new headset yet. That'll have the mic cut off because evidently, even when I have the mic cut off, the clicks of my keys were coming through. So I'm not going to type or do my best not to type unless absolutely necessary. But hopefully I'll get my be able to participate more in the chat room soon. As soon as I get yet another headset, I'm plagued on these headsets, but it at least works.
Don't bang on the clicky keys. That's how you solve that. Don't bang on your keys. Yeah. I type. Nobody hears me. They hear me pour my wine once in a while, but you know.
Yes. Well, hey, that's a sound effect. We'll just consider that part of our sound effect budget, which we did use last week, by the way, Holly. That was a fun time. We got Pete with the air raid siren and the crowd cheer.
Yeah.
We actually made use of our soundboard for a change. About shocked everybody, I think. But that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. And, but, yeah, this last week has been great. All the way up to today, we had two major announcements today. But, yeah, just since the last show, we've had a slew of new people announced for Imaginarium. Of course, that is the convention that Star Chamber show is affiliated with, so we always bring you the convention news. But, yeah, we've got a great group. As far as panelists go, I'll go down the list of who we added since January the 4th. But we added E.E. Isherwood, Wendy Lenore, of course, the great Mick Williams. A lot of you know Mick. All added as panelists. We also welcomed Jenny Kiefer, who has a horror bookstore in Louisville, which is pretty exciting stuff. Matt Shore, Paul J. Hoffman for Pathfinder Publishing, and Ryan Chesnut. I'm really excited to have Ryan. He's head of the Video Gaming Alliance, and a great guy as well. But yeah, he's going to be coming up and representing the video game industry. So that's very exciting to have him joining us as a panelist. And then we had some spotlighted guests. We had Elizabeth Donald, of course, the force behind the Literary Underworld, always puts on great room parties at Imaginarium, great writer, and definitely a great writing instructor as well. She's got a long journalism, award-winning journalism career too. Welcomed her as a spotlighted guest. We also welcome Donna Nolan Wilson as a spotlighted guest, and she's going to be very excited because she's has had a publicity promotion company for over 25 years that has dealt a lot with music and film and writing acts, but yeah, including some that you might know, like the Little River Band. And she's written for she's a content writer and has written for publications like Spin Magazine and Yahoo and the Daily Banner and Backstage Pass, and really cool. And I'm looking forward to meeting Donna, but she is joining us at Imaginarium for the first time as spotlighted guest. And here's a name you'll definitely know, the one, the only, Michael Nost, Bram Stoker award-winning editor and author Michael Nost, whose Return of the Mothman novel was recently premiered toward the end of 2022. As a feature film. So a lot to celebrate there. And Michael's going to have a big year, I think, ahead. And he's going to be coming back for the 10th anniversary as a spotlighted guest. And then today we welcome the awesome Tori Jones. And that comes on the filmmaking side of things. He's founder of Jonestown Films, based right here in our state of Kentucky. He's got seven feature films under his belt as a director and producer. And streaming, yeah. And he is very successful at crowdfunding his movie projects. And his debut film was not too long ago. His debut was The Wicked One in 2016. So yeah, he's stayed very busy since then. Yeah, he's got seven features out there, and he's in the midst of developing several more. But yeah, as you can see, I mean, just in the names that I've given you, I mean, you have people coming from the video gaming industry, filmmaking, great writers, editors, publishers, and yeah, E.E. Isherwood, just this week, his book hit number 4 in the science fiction category in Amazon, and that is the science fiction category in Amazon, the big category. Yeah, his book hit number four. I encourage you all, go through these names, browse them, check them out, because we've just got the guest list is just absolutely phenomenal, and it's like every day we've got new applicants coming in, and it's building just beautifully, and it gives you an idea, because that all those people I just mentioned, that's just the last week in terms of what's announced, and we got some more workshops and programming that Holly got in, so it's going to be going up on the site, and it's looking good, so I know you're excited, Holly.
Yes, I am. I am very excited, and boy, I tell you, it comes quicker than what you think. I know, I tell you, the next few months are going to be busy, busy, busy for O'Holly. But I want to make sure this year is over the top. You know, it is our 10th anniversary, so we really got to ramp everything up and light those fires under people, and spread the word, everybody. We need more, people outside the box, not just authors and filmmakers, but, editors, film editors, book editors, publishers, actors, game designers. Send them our way. Artists,
publicists,
people that do
everything.
Publicists, literary agents. Those we need. Really, but I'm getting ready to send out a few emails to a few literary agents and
others.
Try to get more on board because see if we can't get something arranged there and maybe get some pitch sessions or something going on. And I also want to get everybody's thoughts. Those of you in the chat room and that are out there listening, you can shoot me a message or whatever. But do we want to do readings this year? I know we didn't do them last year. A lot of people ask me about them. I have readers ask me if authors are going to do readings. And I have authors asking me, are we going to do readings? And I thought it'd be something we could do in the evening,
for a
panel.
Possibility.
Just a panel room. And just chill out and have some author readings.
I'll tell you what, I could tell you one thing. A Stephen Shrewsbury reading is entertainment for the masses. I mean, he gives a reading like no other. I mean, it is the craziest, funnest. And people that don't believe me, I've drugged them to Stephen Shrewsbury readings, and they walk out with their jaw open and their eyes big as saucers and like, oh, my God, what did I just experience? But, if we get some readings, just have to have Shrewsbury definitely involved because he's putting together this crazy group that's going to be hanging out with him in the Creative Alley called the Shrews Crew, and it's going to be fun. Carrie Canetsy and Peter Wellmarink and Brady Allen, and they're all big, like big people. I mean, Carrie, I mean, she's over 6 feet tall, professional, powerlifter, bodybuilder. And then Brady, and Pete are both big guys. You all know Shrews is. So, this is going to be a very, very interesting and very, they're going
to
have a presence.
I'm going to have to get over, and we're all going to have to get a picture. I'm going to have to go over there and get a
big presence. It's going to be so fun. So fun. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be just nuts. But we're getting close to the time to bring our guests aboard, so I guess we should definitely spotlight the folks that brought you tonight's show. That would be Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and the fine folks at that amazing press, Per Bostet Publications. So first, today we're going to have Sandy's spot run second. And we're going to give you a little bit about Per Bostet first here to shift the order a little bit from last time. So here we go. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia, or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at permastetpublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events. Permastet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you to T. Lee and Sarah, Marion, and, of course, Marion Allen, the great literary triumvirate that run Per Bastet, who you will see right up front at Imaginarium. And also who you'll be able to see, of course, is that amazing weaver of words, the genre blender herself, Sandy Lender. And here's a spot for her.
The latest release from author Sandy Lender is book 3 of the Fairy Holiday series titled I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer. It's a standalone story in the series, but it's got all the fun, humor, horror, and sweet paranormal romance you'd expect of a Lender Blender vampire satire. Come on down to the Naples Hideaway and Marina for a fun and romancy vacay. But watch out for the Grendwolves and the random femme fatale who thinks she's competing for your vampire's attention. Pick up I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer by Sandy Lender today.
Thank you, Sandy. You're awesome. And yes, folks, please go out and buy one of her books and show her your appreciation for her support of the show. And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get ready and give our, of course, our customary grand red carpet-like announcement of our guest and bring them aboard. And, of course, tonight we are bringing you one half of the awesome Healing Hands Entertainment. The other half is Missy Goodman. But this is the other half who will be joining us, and she is the author of the international bestseller, Letters to Daniel, 13 times Amazon Top 100 bestseller. She's been published over 30 times and has directed and produced close to 30 film projects, including the breakout hit Letters to Daniel. And she also has well over 100 film festival awards, probably closer to 200. And Letters to Daniel won his first industry-recognized award at the 12th Annual Indie Series Awards for Best Original Song. She's got 6 films in various stages of development right now, including talks of Letters to Daniel remake in India and an opportunity to present a limited series to Lifetime TV. And so by now, I'm sure you know who we're talking about, the one, the only, the amazing, the relentless, the unstoppable, Amy Lee McCorkle. Yay! And Amy, you should be on.
Hello.
There you are. Hello. Good to hear you.
Hello. Oh, my gosh, quite an intro. I hope I can live up to it.
Well, you have a lot on your resume. It really is impressive.
My
and
you are a one, I don't know what you'd say. You're like a 10-man band and one woman, man. I tell you, you have branched out and just accomplished so much, especially this past year. I mean, since COVID, you have been on fire.
Yeah,
it's like they said, it's the iceberg, right? You see this at the top, but there was all this work. I really feel like the only thing my distributor said when I was talking to him, because I was asking for an update on Letters to Daniel, how it was doing streaming-wise, and they gave us this hasn't been announced, but we're getting a DVD deal, and you're going to be able to get it online at retailers and stuff like that. He said, Amy, your hustle is second to none. And really, I think that's my secret weapon. I hustle, I network like crazy.
And, yes, you do.
And people, I know, I got my first convention invite to, we all know this one, I'm Fan of Fest, but that was when Stephen was attached to it, and he used his connections to get a lot of really cool authors there, and I was lucky enough to get a seat at the table, and basically it was called the one after my first convention, they called it Sweatfest. Hold on, let me shut my door.
The legendary Sweatfest. I remember that one well. that was a memory. Yeah, you should be. That was an adventure.
Yes, I remember an author saying, I have found the hottest place in this hotel, and it is right next to my room in the hallway. Like the toilet didn't work. It was like everything.
The author was in a pool area where the pool was.
Yes.
And it was like no air conditioning, no fan. There was nothing. And it was damp and hot. And that don't mix well with books.
No.
They torn it down.
We found out.
Yeah. Did they tear it down?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm actually not sad about that.
Oh,
yeah.
I
am a little sad because my family, when it was like a better upkept hotel and it was a Holiday Inn, our family would get a couple of hotel rooms when the water was actually in the pool, and we would bring the food. We would cook the food at home, and then we would bring it to the hotel. We would set it up, and they would let us set it up on a table out there, and everybody everybody would eat, and if there were other families there who didn't have anyone to eat with, we would invite them to eat with us, and it was kind of really nice, but then it fell on hard times, and we couldn't go there anymore, so.
What happens? Bad management. I tell you, we'll run a place in no time. We've seen that.
Well, we begged them to drain that pool, but the hotel wouldn't drain it. And it was like a record hot day in Louisville, like midsummer. No air conditioning, no airflow. And they left that pool full during the event. And so it literally turned into a sauna. And I remember I went out there. I only worked as a volunteer. I wasn't paid convention staff or anything like that. I was working just as a volunteer at the literary track. But I was like, oh my God, we've got this. So I was able to get approved that we could bring in some fans, I remember. And so we were scrambling just to set up giant fans just to get some kind of airflow going. And I swear, at the end of the day, I literally had to peel my volunteer shirt off of me. It was soaked. It was that bad. It was awful.
I remember the very first Imaginarium, and we were happy just to be in a good hotel and be around, mutual friends and authors and having a director of the festival who cared about the authors did. The superstars, right? Because you made the authors the superstars, and it's still Imaginarium is just a lot of festivals did not make it through COVID, and Dell before he passed became sick and passed. Okay. He goes, you don't understand. Half of these festivals that are around now aren't going to make it. And because they're going to lose so much. And unfortunately, and I knew if he passed, AOF would probably go away because he was the force, and he was a force of nature. He was the force behind it. And, and he loved all his creatives. And, guys, he really wanted you all out there. And he knew, when there was a certain – in 2019, a certain thing happened, but I won't go into it because it's not kosher.
We'll keep it upbeat.
They said, what is going on? They said, what is going on? I said, some people left. I didn't want to go into it because I didn't want the – He really liked to support the filmmaker community, right? He cared about all his creators, and there were AOF was like Imaginarium on steroids, okay? And it just was, because it was like 15 different festivals in one, like, right?
Well,
so when I say steroids, I mean massive steroids, because Imaginarium has grown.
Wasn't it out in Las Vegas? It was Las Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was out in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It started out in Monrovia, California. That was the first year I went. And and really, you know, there's certain people who made an impact. And, like, the first impact is, like Indie Gathering and Imaginarium about the same time. Imaginarium gave me my first award for anything Letters to Daniel. And then Imaginarium was the impact in that they were the first place to screen my my little proof of concept documentary, and it got an award. It got its second award. And really, when I went to AOF, they were able, at least they had been around longer. That's all. That was the big difference between Imaginarium and AOF. They had been around just a little bit longer, and they were able to provide me a free marketplace. They didn't spoon feed me, but like the contacts were there. Like Cynthia Rothrock. I don't know if anybody knows who she is. Listening, I'm dating myself.
No. Great martial artist. Great martial artist. Yeah. I love Cynthia Rothrock.
She's amazing. Yeah. And Michelle Yeoh won the Golden Globe last night. So, and they were in a lot of movies together.
I've seen that. I was so happy for her.
And the thing about it, like, it's like Imaginarium. Everyone is really approachable. And what, you know, I'm really proud of what you all have done, because you had a couple of things happen that could have put you under, but you actually turned a corner and grew. And I was like, that made me so excited. And I was so, I've been struggling with Dale's passing. Like, I've done a lot of art with his entire, you know, with his imprint on it, and I was just so glad that Tony gave me a December 19th publication date. It published on December 19th, Letters to Matthew, and you can see where most of the book is where I'm dealing with my grief, and having a place. Having a place to submit it for competition is great. And if I'm not nominated, it doesn't bother me, because I just wanted you all provide. That's what you're starting to do. And that's why I reached out to my publicist. I said, look, I want people in this area who do not have the money, or are too proud to raise the money, or you know, any, you know, real life issues, whatever, and they can't make the big trek out west, right? But I'd really like to see Imaginarium grow.
Right.
And I was like, my publicist is amazing. And I was like, I reached out to her, and she's in Nashville. That's why I reached out to her. If she was in LA, I didn't know she would be able to come, but she was in Nashville, or she is in Nashville, and she goes, oh, I love Louisville. That's the perfect excuse and reason to go. I can see you, and I can actually – so excited about coming, by the way. And
I can't wait to meet her.
Right, so excited. And and she is, like, multifaceted. And so she's a publicist, but she's going to be able – to speak to many different parts of the industry, whether it be film,
writing.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and I've got a ear in my distributor's, a bug in my distributor's ear, but he has to check with Green Apple if he can travel, if they'll give him a stipend to travel, basically. And I think he's located in Illinois. I thought he was in Cincinnati, but I think he's in like central Illinois. And post-production is like the headquarters is in Florida. Part of post-production is in Ohio, and then he's an acquisition. He's like a content acquisitions executive. So he would be the perfect guy. And he's treated me really, really well. And, like, he's been on top of everything. And when, as soon as letters to Daniel dropped, and I just want to take a moment to thank the Imaginarium community for supporting that on the streaming platforms. It is now on Amazon Prime, Freebie, and Roku. There was an order from Biblio, and there's some others, and they've submitted it to countless others, and there's great feedback on the artwork and the trailer they've been showing them. And getting the DVD deal only came when the people watched the streaming, watched it on the streaming platform. And they actually gave me, and I think it's about 2 weeks now, they paid for a screening at Smodcastle Cinemas. For anyone who doesn't know, is Kevin Smith Theater in Atlantic Heights, New Jersey. And it's not the Smodcastle podcast cinema. It's an actual movie cinema that he owns with other partners. And so we're getting, usually I had to pay a deposit and all this stuff, but I didn't have to do it this time. I feel like I'm a real filmmaker, you know.
Well, you are a real filmmaker.
You are.
It's not that you're not a real filmmaker if you have to, rent out the theater for a showing, because that's just a different way of getting your media or your movie to the masses. But it's just nice to have someone else pay for it, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's always good.
I know that. Like, where it's like, oh, so anyway, what else? I can give you more letters to Daniel News. It's not just Lifetime TV. I pitched to a entertainment firm/management company called Ramo Law PC, and it's located out in Los Angeles, and they like the pitch, and so they're reviewing the pilot, and they're preparing to take it out, to package it, and take it to the marketplace. So we're going to have other chances to pitch other streamers, networks, stuff like that. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. That's fantastic, and I know you've shared this publicly, because it's definitely something we mentioned in the intro there. But you also are discussing a possible remake of the film in India. Now, that's interesting.
Yes, that's possible. But it's really slow going, and anything in this industry is like hurry up and wait. It would look like,
right.
So she said, we're doing this, but it may take a long time. So. That's just my Ramo meeting is like tomorrow. The stuff in India is like going very, very, like slowly. Like it's like, but it's still an opportunity, right? It's still a possibility. It's not a no, but it's just slow going.
Right. No, I know. Yeah, I know it takes some time, but it does sound pretty exciting, when you're looking into that, because they, productions from India are just fantastic, and I've definitely been talked to a lot of people about some of the stuff coming out of there and other countries like South Korea and all, some great projects. So yeah, if they get hold of that, that's gonna be a good one, and I look forward to that.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
We're super excited. But, so what else do you want to know?
Well, you've kind of reflected it in this, and I know Holly and I both have watched your progress. And originally, I know you and Missy were having to wear tent hats to do things, but now you've built yourself this great team around you. I mean, you've put different pieces in place, and I'd love for you to share with folks how you've brought this group together now. Because I mean, you've got your publicist, you've got you know, your acquisitions people, you've got, you know, like a manager representation, you've got, I mean, you've got a lot of folks working with you now. I mean, you've got a real organization. So give us a little overview of your team and how it came together, because I think that's a neat indie success story.
So my agent, I don't know if she's still going to be my agent, because I did a pitch of a series, a reality series, like is me and some of my friends training for a marathon and trying to meet our heroes at the same time. And it basically is like a spinoff, a reality series spinoff of Letters to Daniel, but just from a different angle.
Uh-huh.
And I won't say who, because I don't know much. The pitch went very, very well, and she was very, very impressed with me. But you know how that goes. So you, it's not, yeah. Till the check is signed in the mail and clears the bank, nothing's a sure thing. So.
Right. Yeah, I know that goes.
Amen.
People
do, you know, we hear a lot of false promises. Yeah, you can't always, you know, trust everything. But, once you get that money flow, it's like, oh, okay, this is really happening.
Yeah, it's happening. I don't know what that's from.
What?
But we go around saying, me and Missy go around saying it all the time. It's happening. Yeah, but what I did was, kissed a lot of frogs is what I did. From basically the way I built my filmmaking, because first I knew I would have to make, it became clear. No one wants to give you money to make your first movie, especially if it's a drama and it's female-led, okay? And the one thing, and then, of course, then all this talk about right now, it's a really good time because not good in that mental health, we're having a global mental health crisis, but that my material tends to reflect those themes. So that's why I'm probably heating up. And like you said, over the last year or two, it's gotten really, really hot. It's because I'm writing something. I've been writing it the whole time, but now it's just when it's getting hot in the media. And the way I built my team was I started with my filmmaking team. Like, right? I met Thomas at Imaginarium, and he is the one who gave me access to Megan, who played me, and Jenny, who played Missy, who were just outstanding. I discovered Gathering right around the time Imaginarium started. Like, my first Indie Gathering happened like literally just like a month before my first Imaginarium, like the first Imaginarium. So I just like I discovered him, but Brandon, who played the romantic interest to Missy and a friend of both of us in the movie, and he's been in three of our movies right now at this point. And I met him at Indie Gathering in 2016. I met my composer at Indie Gathering in 2016. I met Doug at Imaginarium in 2016. I met Mark Manis, my amazing cinematographer, at AOF in 2016. Same place I met Clint was at AOF in 2016. Of course, I knew you all, and I met you guys. I met Steven back in 2011. And then I met Holly in 2012 or 2013. I don't know. What, 2014, 2015? It seems like I've known you as long as I've known Steven.
Yeah.
Okay.
2016.
And so, And then I met Thomas in 2016 at Imaginarium. And I said, hey, you've got to get out to these other places. And then you can come back here and we can, like, you know, tell them what we know about this place. And so, because whenever we would go, we would say, hey, there's this great small undiscovered film festival and writing convention. It was undiscovered at that time, I feel like, in 2016. I feel like you all really gained ground from 2019 to now. But you were like this gem, this undiscovered gem. And we would say, hey, there's this really cool convention festival that's undiscovered just yet. I think it's just a matter of time before it gets really big. And if that's what you want. and so people, we would recommend it. And it's funny, we started seeing movies that we would see play AOF playing at Imaginarium. Or at Indie Gathering, or at any other festival. Like, so you pick where you're loved, basically, and where you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically put my team together from Indie Gathering, AOF, and Imaginarium. So that's where I got my filmmaking team. And then, you know, I just, when you want to do something, you just got to decide to do it, whether it's for $100, $6,000, $100,000. You've just got to make your mind up to do it. And I swear, once we said we're doing it at this time, everything with Letters to Daniel just like boom, boom, boom fell into place for us. And it's not that it wasn't hard work, but it became like the realization of a dream. And then, like, when we were getting ready to take it out on the circuit, COVID hit. And I was like, grr. But at the same time, you know, we found our first professional piece, you know, my distributor, Green Apple, was at Branson, was a festival that I submitted Letters to Daniel to, and everybody got nominated at that festival. Like, we were nominated for best feature, best lead actress, best supporting actress, best supporting actor, and best cinematography, and best score, right? So we were nominated in all these categories. I said, we have to go out there, you know? And Mark came, and Anna Maria, she was nominated. Not Jenny was nominated. Anna Maria was nominated there. But there was going to be a distributor there, and it was Green Apple. And the person I talked to was Joshua Carpenter at that time. And friends of mine from AOF flew in to support me. And that was Lorraine Ou and Annabelle Monroe. And every day we're talking to Dell. And in April of 2021, and right before we went, we said we couldn't do the pitch when he was going to be doing it. So I said, Deborah, that's the festival director of Branson. And I said, can we get 5 minutes, but can we get a coffee with them, you know, with Joshua Friday, because they're going to be Lorraine and Annabelle are going to be flying back out to LA whenever the festival, you know, they weren't even able to stay for the awards ceremony. They flew out specifically to help me pitch. And as we're talking, we shut the whole, like, we were at Chili's so long. It went from a coffee to dinner to they're sweeping the floor, and we realize it's closing time. He says, I want your movie. And he took it, and you got to be careful because, you know, those distributors tend to not be nice people. They tend to be really slippery, let me just say, right? So you got to always be watching. But Joshua was good to his word. I signed the contract. There was no, I didn't have to pay setup fees. right? There was no money coming out of my pocket. There was setup fees, but it came out of the royalties, right? So that and the cost of the royalties, I don't want to get into my contract, but it was not a big number. Not the royalties, but the setup fees were reasonable. Like, I had Dell, both Dell and Annabelle read these, because these are people that I respect tremendously in the industry. Like, Annabelle had been a star in Germany to some degree. Like, the German version of Quentin Tarantino there discovered her. And then he encouraged her to come to America and pursue a career. And she's had so many close calls. Like, she was one of the victims in the American version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and it got cut.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, that is, yeah. So she knows what she's doing. Dell, I trusted. They looked over the contract. I had it vetted because I had kissed so many frogs.
Right.
I didn't want to kiss a frog with my baby on the line, right?
Uh-huh.
And they said, this is a good contract. You know, this is for your first movie, and it's your first contract. This is a really solid contract. And I said, okay. And I signed it, and I really didn't know the process, and I was afraid to bug people, and it was real silent. But I didn't realize this, but Joshua was preparing to leave Green Apple. Well, he said, stay on this thread. And I said, I finally was able to get the file in the format they needed it. Thank God for Clint Gage. I love him. I still talk to him. I always get advice from him. he's a fantastic editor and filmmaker. He's on his way shooting to the top too. So, he got the file to me. I finally got, they wanted me to email it in this portal, but I didn't have a real PC. I just had a Google Chromebook. So I said, listen, I've got it on an external hard drive. Can I mail this to you? Because the file was like 500 and something gigabytes or something. Like, it was like huge, okay? And I send it to them, and they get it in the right codec. I hand them the trailer, and we start talking back and forth. And once Cole came on board, everything sped up. Because I was getting radio silence, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And actually, you had someone who was at Imaginarium last year, and I said, what should I do? And she said, listen, you either need to look over your contract again and get out of it, or say, I want to know what my release date is, or give me my rights back. And so I kindly worded letter, and they responded. Fortunately, they responded positively. I didn't like write them and say, yeah, give me my movie back. But, you know, there's a way to ask or be firm and be polite.
Right. Yeah, it's business. You know, that's your baby.
And,
you have a right to inquire.
But when I got my artwork, I was like dumbstruck. I was like, it's like, you know, when you get a book cover. You never know what your book cover is going to be, right? You can't ever be 100% sure. And if you're dealing with some, not like, because indie, you have a little more control. Like, but if you go to one of the big four publishers, right?
Yeah.
You don't get a say. Maybe there's a conversation, but once you get your cover, you don't get to say, will you change this? Will you change that? It doesn't happen.
No.
And I knew, I loved my artwork that we originally had designed for Letters to Daniel. I knew if they didn't like it or they didn't think it would be as good to market, then they did the artwork. And I was like,
right.
I was just like, holy crap, I won the lottery, you know? It's like, and grateful. And actually, I've talked to Cole like once a week, you know, or when I need something. By talk, I mean oftentimes it's just emailing and staying on top of them, because you realize, you know, they're busy people. I'm not the only, you know, filmmaker, but he says I'm his hard work. He goes, Amy, to be honest, if I had all my filmmakers were like you, my life would be a lot easier.
Right, right.
And that
pays off in the long run. Persistence does pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, basically I went to Branson, was brave enough to ask for a, you know, but I didn't do it in front of everybody, right? I didn't like in front of the other filmmakers. I missed the screening of my movie at Branson, but I got what I needed. You know, I came there for what I needed. And then when Megan won, it was just like the cherry on top of a very sweet sundae, because the idea is to sell your movie and to get it out to the public. And for everybody who took a picture of themselves watching my movie, thank you. It is very good for the ego. I love seeing those pictures of everybody, of my friends and people who I didn't even know. They would send me in direct message. They would send me pictures of them watching my movie. I was at the hotel. I got a hotel room to watch the Golden Globes, because usually the kids are over here at night, and they don't watch the Golden Globes. They watch cartoons. But this person, he goes, so what's the name of your movie? And I said, Letters to Daniel. He goes, that's kind of a famous movie, isn't it? And I was like, I guess. If he recognizes,
awesome.
The maintenance man from the hotel knows the name of your movie, you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Then the way I found my manager, or my current agent, was through LinkedIn. It was a polite email.
I'm all about LinkedIn.
LinkedIn again
polite
for the win.
Email.
All right. Yeah.
LinkedIn, it's a polite email through LinkedIn, and we set up a time to talk, and we connected, and she liked my Letters to Daniel movie, and what she said, send me your best script. I sent Songbird, and that's won a couple of competitions, because I've had several people tell me, as far as writing goes, Songbird is my best feature. And so I sent her that one, and she said, oh my gosh, you didn't prepare me. I cried when I was reading this script. And anyway, she tried to get it out there, but then she told me to take over, because she had basically exhausted her. And so what I'm going to recommend is that when you have – agents usually come to you when you start taking off. And what I've – another social network – the social media network that I've utilized is Stage 32. They have pitch meetings available with literary managers, producers, with major, like with HBO, with Paramount Plus, with, like, you name it, and they've got that thing. And they've got something called the Writing Room, which is $39 a month. I know actually you pay for Stage 32, you get into the writer's room, and it's called open writing assignments. And then, like, it's like we're major and independent studios, like major independent studios, not like independent like me where I pay $6,000 to make my movie. People would like it when I tell them I pay $6,000 to make my movie. Thanks to everyone who donated to the crowdfunding of that film, by the way. You are, without the support of my Imaginarium family, my AOF family, my Indie Gathering family, some of my ICFF family, that movie would have never got made. And here's another, I found my executive producer for Letters to Daniel. I paid for an individual's drink, and he goes, if you'll buy Peter, Ross, he says only, Peter says only his mother calls him by Peter. So Ross, he said, just get me some French fries. By the end of the conversation, Ross gave me the name Aaron Allen. You all know him. He loved the Magnarium.
Yeah.
And I love him for coming on board. And he was pretty new to the game. And sometimes he would not do kosher things, but it wouldn't be out of malice. So it was just like a learning experience for the both, for like
right.
for all of us involved. And Aaron is amazing. He was as active on the fundraising part as I was and Missy was. And we managed to raise about $2,000 that way. And then the rest of it was split between me and Missy coming out of our pockets. And that's like we went to Indie Gathering and that's how we found our executive producer. So, but now he's coming to Imaginarium and he's
that's
like, yeah, so, right, it's that networking process. And I know some people say, I want to be discovered. I want to sit at the soda fountain shop and be discovered. Excuse my French, that's not how it fucking works anymore. It's like the Wild Wild West, okay?
That's true.
And right now.
That's
and if
true.
You want to make something, write a book, make a movie, whatever, you don't need someone's permission, right? Now, you may need money, but there's always the thing about indie, I said my talent was making chicken salad out of chicken, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Chicken shit, you know? Like, if you're on, like, you know, there's always going to be something go wrong on an independent film set. Always. I had 7
Oh,
actors,
my God,
no
yes.
Call, no show.
You have to have plan B, C, D, and E.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes
some.
E, F, E.
Yes, amen.
But you all were amazing. I thought it was so genius, Holly, how you showed up with old Imaginarium badges. And everybody in the scene, that is all Holly's doing. She brought
yes,
the badges.
I dug them all up, and they were 2014. I dug and found 2014 badges with lanyards and T-shirts. I even found 2014 T-shirts.
Yeah. And so there was Steven at the end of the movie. And
mm-hmm.
the begin, like when we see Holly at the end of the movie.
Yeah, you see me a couple times. My
scene, and we see Holly, we see Steven and Tony at the end.
Yep.
And the only reason Tony wasn't in it, one of his scene that we shot wasn't in it, was because we shot at too low a sound, and we couldn't recover it. The sound was shot too low. I'm not going to talk about that because I was lucky to have any sound people at all because, you know, sound people cost. Good sound people cost. Like, right?
Right.
So, and
hey, I know
practice.
A guy. I know a guy. He's in Tennessee. He helped.
Yep.
He helped with one of your films, the one we did when you were in Florida, you know, that we done up here. And that was fun. Brian Michaud.
Yep.
I'm going to give him a shout
Brian
out.
Brian Michaud.
Phenomenal sound guy.
I was at AOS with him 1 year, and he volunteered for them. So they saved because like they didn't have any volunteers show up, and so Brian and Ryan Lane helped. Run movie theaters and stuff like that. And so Dell gave them free tickets to the dinner. And the dinner at you get like an alcohol drink and tickets for alcoholic beverage, you had tea. The meals were always amazing, except once when there was a last-minute thing, and it was like, oh, there was chicken feet on the plate, and I was like, oh. It was like authentic Chinese food, and I was like, oh, boy, I'm going to have to eat something else after this. But you know, it's funny. Yeah, Brian Michaud, I know. I met him through Thomas. We sat at the same table at the award ceremony, and Thomas gave the greatest speech that night because he won the Rising Phoenix Award. I can't say enough for your discovery of Thomas. He's like one of, like when I
Thomas.
Say people who gives me great feedback and stuff like that, that's my favorite network person I've met. Like, I love everybody at Imaginarium, but I can't say enough nice things about Thomas.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man. We
he's
love
awesome.
Thomas.
He's awesome. Yeah. Yep. He's one of our favorites for sure.
And when I found I knew I was at a point where I couldn't do all my own advertising anymore. I needed someone to kind of help me. And I reached out to Donna, and I found her on Facebook. Now, she said she usually doesn't pay attention to her Facebook, like when people reach out, because, you know, people say they're bigger than they are. And I try not to do that. I try to showcase what I'm really good at, which is the writing and my Letters for Daniel project. And I'm proud of all my work. But that's like what I'm like, those that and breaking through are probably the ones I'm like really, really proud of as my growth as a filmmaker. And you know, that's how I found my publicist. And Gamut Management specializes in representing people with disabilities, all types of disabilities, whether it's physical, whether it's and you see it like traditional, like if, you know, a missing limb or something like that, or if they're in a wheelchair, but they also represent people with disabilities who may have physical and visible illnesses, and then like people like have like me who have bipolar disorder. So that they were online. I saw a friend her, I'm totally blanking out. Well, anyway, I saw her announce, they announced that they had acquired her as a client, and I went to the site and I filled out the form, and they were impressed with my background, so they took me on as a client. So it's Gamut Management, and and Donna Nolan Wilson, because she just was announced at Imaginarium and Co-Ones, and all of these people, these individuals and groups. And of course there's Missy, who's always been there, who's also a fantastic writer, filmmaker. You know, she's usually producing all my wild, crazy ideas, but we're working on a project called You're the Reason, and we want to film that this year. So, because she wants to direct, she goes, and I was like, hey, do you want to solo direct? Because when we were on the set of Letters to Daniel, God bless her, I was very easy to collaborate with, except when dealing with Missy. And unfortunately, I think that's the bipolar disorder. I was under a great deal of stress. And I'm not proud of how I was all the time, but it wasn't visible to most of the cast and crew, but it, like, we were really stressed out on the last day, and her cousin was one of our sound people, and he said he saw us over there, and he could definitely tell it was not a pleasant conversation we were having. But Missy said, take the solo direction, because she goes, Amy, really, she goes, this is our story. This is, we both worked on this film, but I said, well, then you get top billing as producer. Because you, without you being here, I could, because you saw me on a day without her. And that was the only, like, her boss gave her every day off we needed, except that one. I was like, I need you there. And I had to do it. And then, of course, we walked out that day. I wish we hadn't been locked out and I'd been able to get my Aunt Debbie on camera, because, you know, she's not with us anymore. And I would just have loved to have her. I would have loved to have her on there, because she was so, she did get to see the movie. She did get to see the finished movie, and she was proud of me. And she says, nice. Amy, everything you ever wanted is going to happen for you. And, you know, you're like, Aunt Debbie and my Aunt Rosie were two of my biggest champions in my family. And I lost them within a matter of months when the first wave of COVID came through.
Oh, man.
And so, like, whenever, you know, you talk about long COVID, you do what you need to take care of yourself. And so, you know, if you need to take it easy, I understand when the show had to be postponed, I didn't know if it was the flu or what was at work. And so I was like, well, let's hope they feel better next week, because it sucks to be sick no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, how did I have a question, though, and I'm sure a lot of people are wondering. What made you start into film? I mean, has film always been a passion of yours, or was it novel writing first?
Oh, yeah.
What comes first, the egg or the chicken?
I've always written. Like, when I was 5 years old, I was in the success program. I've always loved movies and television. And when I saw, I always wrote, and I always knew I was going to be a writer, whether it was an author or whatever. And then I saw two movies, which absolutely cemented that I would try, or at least try to get into the movies, even though I had no idea how I was going to do it from Kentucky with no money. Last of the Mohicans, directed by Michael Mann. And
great
I
movie.
Love that movie. Yes, yes. I hate that book. I tried to read that book. I was bored as crap reading that book.
I've never read the book.
It's very popular. But I like the way Michael Mann fashioned it, almost as an action-adventure romance. And it's like a historical action-adventure romance. And me and my dad went and saw it. And I'm sitting there, and it's just, you know, you have that experience. Like, I saw it like three times while it was at the theater, at the Village 8.
Wow.
And the Village 8 doesn't exist anymore. And so then I saw a movie on video, which I had wanted to see at the movie theater, and Kenneth Branagh's Dead Again, and Scott Frank wrote the screenplay for it. And and he says, well, I feel cold about that movie. And I didn't understand that. I said, how? And Tim Burton said the same thing about the first Batman movie. And I said, how can you feel cold about something you created? And you realize it's not like writing a book, right, where you're pretty much in charge the whole way. You're not in charge, like, you're collaborating with an editor, but that's only one other person. Like, when you get into hot studio films, like, a lot of fingers get in that pie. And I didn't understand until I made my movie, my documentary, Black Gold, The Trail of a Standing Rock. That was a traumatic experience. My editors, there was a person on board whose husband, I won't get too far into it, but who passed away suddenly, like unexpectedly, while we were filming that movie. And I'm not in communication with them anymore, but when my editors wouldn't do what I was telling them to do, like when we were going over the review process, I said, you need to put this and this and this in here, or this movie doesn't have a premise, this movie doesn't have an argument to make, you need to put this there. And they wouldn't do it. It took me, I had to get the producer, not the producer, but I had to get this person to tell them to do it. And when I was done with the movie, I was done with all of them, right?
Wow.
I won't say their names because they're not bad people, okay? It was just a traumatic experience. It was just a big learning curve, right, for me. And I had never collaborated with that many people. And it was like me not knowing how, them not knowing how. But it actually, what the amazing thing is it turned out to be probably my most ambitious movie to that point. And my best movie to that point. And it's definitely probably the best document next to Breaking Through. It's the best documentary I've ever directed. And the odd thing was we won best editing documentary at AOS that year. So, you know, you never know how people are going to receive it. And I love the movie now when I watch it. And I could do an update on it because the way it ended is not the way the case ended, going on over a couple of years. And I submitted it to you all this year, to Imaginarium this year, and hope if by some chance the judges like it enough to make it a selection, I am very excited about standing up and giving an update because it ends very sad. You know, it had a terrible ending, like not terrible in production value ending, but like just emotionally, you are gut punched at the end. And you know, I just feel like you all were very early supporters. You're among the first supporters to give me a seat at the convention/festival table, and you have to have those early supporters. And I got to a point where I was traveling a lot and I couldn't sponsor as much. And now I feel like, okay, now I'm really pumped about sponsoring this year because I feel like it's growing to the point where people can come in, where young people can come in and just like, I want them to have the same opportunities I had and having it close to home, supporting something to have it close to home. So I'm really hoping Cole gets back to me and says, hey, they're letting me travel. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Well, speaking of opportunities, Amy, one of the cool things that's happened to you, and I thought it was awesome, and Holly and I have talked about it, but you got a chance to meet the Kevin Smith. Yes, the famous fellow that's a director, writer, and behind, you know, iconic movies like Clerks. And you got a video, an audio blurb, which praised your book. And that's not an easy thing to get. I'd like you to share a little bit about that experience because you got to meet him. You got an endorsement of your book from him, an actual audio clip. And I thought that was pretty awesome.
We need to get him back to Imaginarium someday.
Yeah, you tell him to come out and see us.
they gave us very strict instructions on what we could do, what we could ask, what we were allowed to do, because we were going into his home, and it was me and seven other Kevin Smith fans, basically super fans. You had to be vetted first of all, And there's this thing, this mm-hmm. little, he called it the golden calf. We're called golden calves, which cracks me up because the golden calf, you know, which was. But that you had to be vetted. And then you had to pay the, it's part of that Kevin Smith club. And it's one of the levels. And I figured this was like a once in a lifetime thing. And first of all, you have to be chosen. And then second of all, you have to pay the level of the fee. And I'm not going to say how much it was because the fact that I was able to raise it in a week, I'm still paying back people. but thankfully, I was able to do it because I had a like a voucher at Southwest I know what I did. I rode Spirit and they allow you to like right. So and Andrew and James let me stay at their house for, you know, it was basically just mm-hmm. go out there and then go the next day, then turn around and come back. And so I went to his house. I took an Uber, and his house, I won't say where his house, it's in Hollywood, basically. Well, one of them, right. Anyway. Mm-hmm. It used to be Ben Affleck's house. That's his major claim to fame. If you ever read anything written by him, he's got hilarious stories about that. So, I went in and I thought, am I going to be the only girl here? But there were two other women. And so we sat at the table and we had a vegetarian dinner. He made homemade hummus. Oh my God. It was the best hummus ever. He had like little containers of it for all of us had our own individual containers of it. And we sat there. And we got led up the stairs, and Joshua was recording everything. And I'm climbing up these steps. Oh, my God, there must have been 100 steps in that house. I get up to the top, and I'm like out of breath and start coughing and retching. I'm like, please, dear God, do not put this on your website. But they gave me something to drink, and he talked to us a little bit at his bar, and he talked to all of us one on one, and he's so nice. He's like one of those. He's like, you know how they say sometimes when you meet your heroes, it's glad you met them, but you're glad you don't ever have to talk to them again. But it was he's so sweet, and he's so kind, and I think I was the only one not smoking pot there. and he gave us all pot, right? He gave us all like free weed, and I was like, I can't take this on the plane with me. The dogs will sniff me out. That's, you know. It was just really incredible. He set us all down, and then he records the thing of him giving a speech. And he opens the speech with, "Don't steal my shit." And then he just goes, awesome. We go around the room, and we introduce ourselves. And then we sit down and had dinner. And then he took us each one by one into his office. And we did a podcast, and the podcast is available on that Kevin Smith Club's website. And I was talking. He asked me what I did. I said, "Well, I'm a filmmaker, and I did this, and I do that." And I said, "I've got a book coming out called Letters to Matthew, and I'm trying to get Daniel Craig to blurb it." He goes, what? I said, it's part of a trilogy because I signed a contract with Tony from Imaginarium to make Letters to Matthew the follow-up. announced it, and it wasn't out mm-hmm. yet. And, of course, I told him about the and he said, what's the third book? And literally, I mean, I hated saying this because it sounded like I was just kissing up to him. I said, it's called Letters to Kevin. And he goes, Kevin Costner? I said, no, Kevin Smith. And he said, well, I blurred that shit all over the place. He goes, I said, send you a cease and desist order. And then we all laughed. And he goes, no, I'm going to blur it for you. We went back downstairs and he got my recorder up on my phone and he just blurred it right there in his living room.
Awesome.
And that's how that happened.
Yeah.
And if anybody's interested in that experience, I don't know what they are doing multiple dinners and he's loving owning the theater and everything. It's just, that was a magical experience meeting Kevin Smith. I had a hard time navigating the steps back down for different reasons because my equilibrium was off. And he helped me down the steps. And when I was going to get in my Uber, because he waited out there with us because, you know, it was dark outside. It was like after midnight. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. And it was an incredible experience. I made friends with a couple of people. It's like being around, it's like being at Imaginarium around like-minded people. And he helped me in the car, and I was putting my stuff because he gave us a bunch of free stuff. And like merchandise, and he gave me a hug, and he said, "You're a ray of sunshine," and he's so. I mean, he was. It was a really. Really cool. Yeah.
Well, awesome that you know he's got the celebrity hood that he does, but yet he's still a good person. He's still a nice person. You know,
He remembers being that person who says, oh, hey, you're Kevin Smith.
He don't forget where he come from, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, his wife was talking to us and it says he is as sweet and as kind and as, you know, and she's going on and on. And she goes, and you know, I'm telling the truth because I'm a bitch.
Oh my!
That's great.
No, that's
a story. You also put a book in Daniel Craig's hand, correct? Daniel Craig does have a copy of your book.
Yeah, I actually went to New York City, Manhattan Theater District. Macbeth. And I got my book and movie into his hand. Now, what he thinks of it, if he loved it, he seemed excited to get it, according to the guard that took it back to him. I had one guard go, no, I'm not going to do that. And then another guard said, his name is Chris. And he said, here, let me go ask his bodyguard if he'll take it back to Daniel. And he went back there and was talking about it, and Daniel got excited, Chris told him what the book was about, and it was a magical experience too. My first trip up to New York was a magical experience. Then I got to see him in person with Stephen Colbert in October. That was another cool experience. I had a lot of dream come true stuff happen last year. I haven't gotten to meet him face to face, but knowing I've been trying since the blog to get his attention. So that was kind of magical. So this whole last year.
You will. No,
you will.
You are persistent enough, and you will.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
No doubt.
Nope. The universe works around with you. Yes, it does. You will. Because you don't give up.
Yes, big year ahead.
And that's the thing.
Nope.
You know,
tenacious.
It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And and you got to scrape mm-hmm. and you got to scrounge and, you know, I mean,
oh,
it's
I
a very few.
Letters to Daniel hit the number one spot in the U.S., Canada, and Australia when the movie dropped. Like, everybody checked
nice.
Out the memoir, and it reentered the top 100. It hit number one in three countries. And then Letters to Matthew debuted at as the number one hot new release in bipolar e-books. So it's been a good –
well,
last year was a very good
congrats.
Year.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Well, now,
that
of course,
is awesome.
Imaginaria.
Yes.
That was,
so
it's going to be a big year.
I got one thing here. What is your best advice for a filmmaker that's just starting or thinking about starting? What is your, like, number one best advice?
Based on, yeah, what you've
just
learned.
Just do it. I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but just do it. Just make up your mind to do it and then put the work in. It may not
uh-huh.
happen overnight, but there's no one way to skin a cat, right?
Sure.
Nobody wants to skin a cat. Let me just put that that way because I've got to work to. But there is,
Stephen.
there's no one way to break in. And it,
right.
And always, and here's another thing, change the way you look at success. In 2011, you realize it is the 11th anniversary of my first book being published by a legitimate publisher.
Right.
And it's mm-hmm. the 10-year anniversary. It is now the 10 in February, it will be the 10-year anniversary of Letters to Daniel starting with the blog.
Wow.
So
yep, it takes time.
Every success you make, no matter how big or how small, and no matter how much grief you get for celebrating it, celebrate it, because there are no guarantees in the creative field. So let's say you finish your book. Treat yourself out to a nice dinner. You get published. Tell everybody about it. And don't be afraid. Dale said, don't be afraid to be proud of yourself, because you, like, because it's hard. What you do, even though it's fun there's hard times, but if you can, you don't have to, like, I'm not, like, preaching this, stay positive all the time, because nobody can stay positive all the time. They would get on my freaking nerves. But when you look at your work, be disciplined and just go for it, because you don't need permission. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Kenzie. Everybody's path is different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Well, Amy,
well,
we are coming up on about a minute and a half in the show, so let's go ahead and give you an opportunity to tell folks where to find you, connect with you, and your wonderful
okay.
creative path.
Okay. I am on Twitter as Amy L. McCorkle, on Facebook as Amy Lee McCorkle. I'm on Instagram as Letters to Daniel. I'm on LinkedIn as Amy McCorkle. And all my books are on at least Amazon, but I'm also on online retailers. Some of my books are on online retailers. So, and Letters to Daniel is available right now on Amazon Prime, Freevee, Roku, and Biblio. So
yes, yes, that is awesome. Well, thank you, Amy, for joining us tonight. It has been great. Your stories have been awesome and entertaining and fantastic, and definitely you're an inspiration to all of us, and I wish you a great year ahead, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay, well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Holly, do you want to do the closing honors?
I sure can. Thank you, Amy, for joining us, and don't be a stranger. Definitely have to have you on again with all your good updates. And see what you're working on next. It's very exciting. Join us next week, same time, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great show and learn a few things, be entertained, and we'll talk to you then. Good night, all.